It's the one and only Game of Thrones After Dark, starring Richard Roper and Lauren Lapka. I'm your moderator, Rokan. And we will take you through what has just now been the series finale for Game of Thrones after 8 seasons, $50 billion in budget, all the rest of it.
Seemingly, yeah.
A gigantic international audience. As a matter of fact, you know, it runs here live in the United States first because of HBO. HBO paid for it and it started the thing. They were running theatrically live in London and Edinburgh, Manchester, all throughout the United Kingdom, as people were just, they wanted to see this in real time so that there weren't spoilers.
Well, they were going to do a showing at the King's Landing, 27 East, but that was burned down, so there's no theaters there.
Too soon? I see what you did there. Actually, too late. So there are going to be some spoiler alerts here.
Don't get mad at us.
So this show really has been designed for people who want to know what happened or who've already seen it and want to talk about it. 312-981-7200. Your thoughts?
Yeah. A lot of people already wanting to talk about it. And unfortunately, I kind of had a feeling a lot of people upset. But again, it's the end of an entire show. Everyone's going to be upset because it's the end. It's the end of an era, especially arguably the best television show ever. You're going to be upset. But
there's no perfect ending, Lauren.
Yeah,
and Lauren loves the show. I always thought it was a very good show. I was never, you know, the most hardcore fan. I mean, I watched every single episode. I don't think it's on the same level as of certain other shows. But that's the fun of it. You can debate Breaking Bad versus Game of Thrones. We're talking about different genres. It is interesting, though, like some of the people that are complaining. I'm like, if you know, people, I just had someone tweet to me, this is some of the poorest writing I've ever seen in television history. I'm like, well, then I have about 1,000 other shows that you haven't seen. You know,
yeah.
That's insane to say that. And for some people who really thought every episode this year was so terrible, I'm like, then why are you still, are you hate watching at this point now? Why are you still watching?
And sometimes people are just upset because things don't happen the way you want them to.
Yeah.
But that's the draw of the show. It goes there. It makes you uncomfortable. You don't get the happy ending that you want a lot of the time.
Right.
And you don't see that often. And I think
that's true. The
reality of that is what draws a lot of people.
So that brings us to our first spoiler alert, which is that it was a fairly happy ending. In a lot of ways.
Yeah.
You have all of the main Stark characters and all the characters that we knew from the very, very, very beginning, with the exception of Daenerys, making it through.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Like the three main Starks, I would say, and I'm saying three, even though there's four, arguably, and not really one. They end kind of
going
off.
He's like Arnold Schwarzenegger when he talks about how many kids he has. Well, I've got four. Well, really five.
So three Starks, but one's not really a Stark.
Right.
So.
But we know what you're saying.
Jon Snow, Arya, and Sansa all seem to have the endings that they would have wanted.
And what about Bran the Broken?
See, while I don't think that's what he wanted, really, when he became the Three-Eyed Raven, his goal was just to follow destiny.
His destiny,
In that sense, yes, he did. And, you know, things ended the way that they were supposed to.
You remember way back, Lauren, for the first episode when Ned Stark, and of course, we all thought Ned Stark was going to be the hero of the show because he's, portrayed by a big actor who had been in Lord of the Rings. And we could talk about that, Sean Bean. And, you know, he comes home and he doesn't even know his kids. You know, like, remember he brought a doll for Sansa, who was a teenage girl, and said, I don't play with dolls anymore. And Arya couldn't even, like, you know, hit the target. And Jon was an outsider. So it was interesting to see all those characters, as you say, kind of find their place in the world.
Right.
Maybe not exactly where they wanted to be, but where they might have been destined to be.
Right. Well, Sansa always wanted to be a queen, right? And she's queen of the North now that the North is officially still independent.
Right.
And Jon Snow never wanted to be a ruler. And so now he's just back where he actually chose to be originally in the first season.
Bromancing. He's bromancing it up.
Yes. He's back on the wall. You know, he's part of the Night's Watch again. And Arya just wanted to explore and travel the world, and she ended up doing that. And I mean, I think that's great. So I understand why a lot of people might be frustrated, but think about it in the sense that these characters that we have grown to love did get the ending that they wanted.
Well, my question too is just like, what did you want to happen? The people that are saying that it's horrible, I just wonder what they wanted or what would have satisfied them.
Mm-hmm. Well, here is the pivotal moment here. This is the kind of the essential ending to the program.
There's nothing in the world more powerful than a good story. Nothing can stop it. No enemy can defeat it. And who has a better story than Bran the Broken? The boy who fell from a high tower and lived. He knew he'd never walk again, so he learned to fly. He crossed beyond the wall, a crippled boy, and became the Three-Eyed Raven. He is our memory, the keeper of all our stories. The wars, weddings, births, massacres, famines, our triumphs, our defeats, our past.
So that's the moment they make Bran the
Yeah, that was Tyrion's big pitch to have Bran be the next king, essentially. And I love that line, you know, that nothing's more powerful than a good story. I think that was very telling. And it's so true, you know, when we talk about him as the Three-Eyed Raven and him being the memories that everyone has. Who better to run the world, essentially, their world, mm-hmm. than somebody that knows everything about the past and everyone, you know, the common saying that, you know, sure. if you don't know our history, then you're just bound to, like, repeat it. So I think that's a very, very cool thing. And I think unexpected for a lot of people.
So, yeah, that's absolutely true. And, of course, it was this great self-referential thing about everyone loves a good story, and they're literally writing the story of their lives because we've just enjoyed a great story over almost a decade.
Yeah.
So the you know, the biggest moment of action in the finale is the death of Daenerys, is the, you know, the mother of all dragons, or first of her name, you know, the rest of it.
It's a very long title.
Order of the Andals, or whatever she is. And it killed by Jon Snow. Mm-hmm. And I think it was a shocker as we were all watching it together. Both of you guys gasped when that happened.
Yeah, yeah. I gasped because, you know, as he was about to kill her, he says, "You are my queen. You will always be my queen." And that struck me because obviously he was very torn with the whole thing and he was not happy. So I was shocked because he said that, which means he was definitely lying or was just, you know, indifferent with himself. And so I was surprised to see that that's where that went.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing about Game of Thrones, and I've said this from the start, first of all, it's one of the best looking shows of all time. The production values are better than most of the movies I see. But from the start, it has been a soap opera, and it has been The Sopranos with swords, and they've engaged in a lot of very familiar image making. So in that scene with Jon Snow and Dany, there have been 100 movies in which two characters are in a clinch, either fighting or hugging or kissing, and then we know one of them has been stabbed or shot, but we don't know which one at first because they're both grimacing, and then one of them falls to the ground. You know, so even though it's shocking, it's also very familiar.
It's not easy to see something that's never been before. A good world.
How'd you know? How'd you know it'll be good?
Because I know what is good, and so do you.
I don't.
You do. You do. You've always known.
What about everyone else? All the other people who think they know what's good.
They don't get to choose. Be with me. Build the new world with me. This is our reason.
You are my queen. Now. And always.
And then he stabs her.
What? Well, we kind of saw it coming, right? Because of the conversation that Tyrion and Jon had earlier when Jon says, "Love is the death of duty." And Tyrion responds with, "And sometimes duty is the death of love." You know, that was also just very deep. And Tyrion's always been, you know, very smart, the intellect. But to see these two characters in general have such a deep conversation.
Yeah, I agree.
Was very telling, very telling.
And that's why, again, Lauren and Roman, people talk about, oh, you know, the writing. Listen, it might have been inconsistent at times, but it's still brilliant writing. And that exchange, there was like a 5 or 6 minute scene in the prison cell with just Peter Dinklage and Kit Harington. And that was a masterclass in acting, especially from Peter Dinklage as well. And you don't get a lot of that in, you know, just pure action movies or television shows, fantasy shows, where the dialogue is so strong and so rich and so complex.
No, I agree. I agree 100%. You know, writing here or there, but you know, the words and the sentences and the phrases that they use tell everything.
Absolutely.
So, I think sometimes people need to look a little bit further into the writing if they're going to be frustrated with it.
Here's the scene you're talking about.
Everywhere she goes, evil men die, and we cheer her for it. And she grows more powerful and more sure that she is good and right. She believes her destiny is to build a better world for everyone. If you believed that, if you truly believed it, wouldn't you kill whoever stood between you and paradise?
That, to me, is one of those that the writing, just the line writing in this particular episode was so great. The one you just mentioned, the death of duty, or the death of love is duty, kind of moments, and then that is... The actors must have just been eating that up when they saw it come in. Like, oh my God, this is my Emmy moment, I think, for Peter Dinklage, for sure. Yeah. Because, you know, you stop and you have to pause and look at this whole arc. And what does it say? Because this is a piece of art that is reflective of its time in which it is being written. It's reflective of a moment. There were a couple times in the show tonight, there have been throughout the series, about the basically throwing democracy out the window. There was one throwaway tonight about democracy when a character stands up and talks about maybe the people should have a say. In
Sam Bowles said yes.
Yes, of course.
And they went, maybe the dog should have a vote. Yeah. That's what one of the guys says. Which, by the way, would be a good idea.
Some of you may be quick to forgive. The Ironborn are not. I swore to follow Daenerys Targaryen.
You swore to follow a tyrant.
She freed us from a tyrant. Cersei is gone because of her, and Jon Snow put a knife in her heart. Let the Unsullied give him what he deserves.
Say another word about killing my brother and I'll cut your throat.
It's a late night Game of Thrones wrap-up show. Game of Thrones After Dark. Lauren Lapka, Richard Roper watched the show together. And at one point, I thought there was going to be a moment where they were going to pull swords out.
Which one?
So, in general, would you say, could you assign a lot of grades to things, Richard? How would you say the final episode was?
I would give it B+ for the series finale. You know, part of my problem with it, and I did, again, that's obviously, that'd be like 3 to 3.5 stars, right? I mean, overall, enjoyed it. Part of my problem with it is I've never been a fan of Bran the Broken. I just never, you know, first of all, I hate to say this, but the reality is, I don't think the performance is very good. I've never found that actor that compelling. And I know he's playing a kind of a ethereal, otherworldly character, but kind of a drip, kind of a bore.
Yeah, emotionless, you know? Which is almost the exact opposite of what this whole world
is. Right, exactly. You know, he's in an arena with these big league colorful characters, whether we talk about Cersei, Jaime, Tyrion, you know, they're all, and you know, Jon Snow, some people have accused of that, but I think that he was a noble character. He was supposed to be not a stiff, but a guy that wasn't exactly, you know, brimming with humor.
Right.
But these other characters were so big and larger than life. Yeah, he's Gary Cooper. He's John Wayne. He's Clint Eastwood. But Bran the Broken is like Bran the Boar. You know, if I saw him at a bar, I'd be like, oh, let's go sit somewhere. Oh, Jamie's over there with the gold cup in a gold hand in a gold cup. That's fantastic.
Isn't that the point of him, though?
Exactly.
That he has to be the center of weirdness. You know, it has to bring you back.
Yeah, he's a weirdo. That's right.
We clearly saw how emotion destroyed the entire city of King's Landing with Dany.
Yes.
And we followed her for all 8 seasons, becoming a great ruler and liberating people. And then liberation became almost a bad word at the end of it all because of how she was using it.
Well, and that's where we get into the politics, obviously. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, them all laughing at the idea of the people having a vote. And that scene we just played where Danny's making the argument to Jon Snow, like, we get to choose and, you know, we can make the world a better place.
Good.
Yeah, and she's, like, basically saying, I know what's good for the people, which all dictators say, right? Yeah,
he goes,
what about all these other people? Ah, screw them.
Yeah, yeah.
And
they can suck my dragon.
the heart of the show had really become Arya Stark. Right. I mean, she had become this, you know, she represented the constituent of the viewer that, like, everyone was rooting for her. And she has a very pivotal moment where she says to her brother, really not her brother, whoever he is, John Stark, she says, hey, this chick is crazy.
Yeah.
She's going to kill you.
What are you doing here? What happened?
I came to kill Cersei. Your queen got there first.
She's everyone's queen now.
Try telling Sansa.
Wait for me outside the city gates. I'll come find you.
John. She knows who you are. Who you really are. You'll always be a threat to her. And I know a killer when I see one.
I know a killer when I see one.
So she, Arya, was the first one to, you know, again, be like, hey, she's probably going to kill you because of who you are. And then we already heard the clip with Tyrion mentioning it as well.
They're all trying to tell this guy, right? You idiot!
And eventually, obviously, he listens, and that's how we ended up where we are.
But Lauren, doesn't remind you, and this is the part that I loved about Game of Thrones, where we could all relate to it, because, of course, the little sister always tells the big brother she's not good for you, and the best friend's always saying, this chick is trouble, man. You're going to go to the prom with her? I'm telling you.
Love is blinded.
Right, and love is blind. Right. He's literally, well, not literally, but absolutely blinded to it until he's not.
Until he's a front stabber.
What a front stabber.
Priorities matter, and he has always been about doing what is right, what is good, and that's why we've all loved Jon Snow. And I think for a lot of people, the frustration is you felt that he didn't get the just end that you wanted with him ruling. But again, you have to remember, that's not what he ever wanted.
Yeah. He's like Joe Biden, except for Joe Biden's always trying to run. No one wants him to run. Jon Snow didn't want to run. He kept getting drafted at the convention. The great state of Westeros casts its 47 delegates for Jon Snow. No, I don't want that.
Okay, but you know what? The best thing about it is what he was able to do was reconnect with Ghost. And now all the critics that were yelling about him saying a very bad goodbye to Ghost a few episodes
ago. Explain who that is, Lauren, for people who don't know.
Ghost is his dire wolf, the all-white wolf that has been by his side forever. And it was hard when he kind of just walked away from Ghost a few episodes ago, sending him north with Tormund. But they got
the guy that looks like the guy on the Dodgers.
The crazy red
beard. Looks like the redheaded guy in the Dodgers. And Lauren, you make a great point. There was a lot of criticism, and I will say this: the showrunner said when there was the goodbye, we thought the goodbye between Jon Snow and his dire wolf, between Ghost, and it was just from a distance. They actually said, you know, even with all the money we have, that's a pure CGI creation,
folks know.
And we did not have the time or the means at that point to actually have them touch each other, to physically be in the same shot together. So clearly, they realized that was a missed opportunity. And they had known that, obviously, when people were complaining a few episodes ago they'd already shot this. They didn't want to say, relax, people, you'll get to see him pet his puppy, so to speak. And then the two guys, the buds, get to hang out. And how are they going to keep track of whether or not Jon Snow ever has kids? They're like, you can't have kids. You're sentenced to, you know, a life. What are they
going
to do?
Right. Well, I don't even know where they're all going. They're all just walking.
I know. That was the other thing. Where are they going at the end? Lauren Lapka.
Why do they even need the wall anymore now that all the White Walkers are gone? What's the point?
You're always going to need a night watch. I think they were saying, like, you're always going to need somebody looking out into the horizon. And, hey, how do you know some of those Night Kingy guys might have cousins somewhere else in uncharted waters and other parts of the planet? Like Arya said, she was going to places where we don't think any people had ever been.
Yeah, but the Night King was created by the Children of the Forest. And when he was killed, that's why the rest of them were killed, because he was
the
original.
So they're gone. They're an extinct people,
I would say that's pretty...
We just got so deep in the woods with our resident expert here. But that's why we love Lauren, because see, you just pointed something out there. Because I'll have to say, and I admit I was with Ro very deep into the last episode of, 73 episodes. There was a moment where Ro was everybody's dad. Now, who's that? Who's that guy? And Lauren was just like kicking him. And I have to admit, I was about to say, Lauren, who's that? You know the one guy I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, there's always a guy.
Who's that dude that got up and started talking at the council meeting? At first, when they first said, who's going to be a king? And he went up there and said, well, I've been in two wars.
And they
told him to sit down and shut up.
He's a Tully.
He's like the Bernie Sanders of the council. He keeps saying everyone wants him to run. No one wants you to run.
Bernie Sanders is. He's like the Pete Buttigieg is who he is. It's sort of like, wait, that's the guy. I know who that one is.
You're referencing the guy that pretty much was starting to argue why he should probably be king.
Right. He's the governor of Montana.
At least I think that's where he was going.
At the end, though, they wrap things up in a really Hollywood ending. We'll talk about that. We'll take your phone calls, too. 312-981-7200. If you watch Game of Thrones, you've been through it the entire 8 seasons, and you loved it, you hated it. If you hated it, you're a moron, but that's all right. 312-981-7200. You can call us. We'll talk about it as the Game of Thrones After Dark continues here to 11 o'clock. I'm Ro Khan. He's Richard Rober. She's Lauren Lapka. And back right after this.
Lord Tyrion, you will be my hand.
No, Your Grace, I don't want it.
And I don't want to be king.
I don't deserve it. I thought I was wise, but I wasn't. I thought I knew what was right, but I didn't. Choose Sir Davos. Choose anyone else.
I choose you.
You cannot.
Yes, I can. I'm king.
This man is a criminal. He deserves justice.
He just got it. He's made many terrible mistakes. He's going to spend the rest of his life fixing them.
It's a Game of Thrones recap. I'm Ro Khan. He's Richard Roper. She's Lauren Lapka. Got geeks is what I wanted to call this show because I've got them. And I'd like to say, spoiler alert, if you liked a character in Game of Thrones, they pretty much survived it. That's the good news.
Most of them. Well, even the ones that you used to like, you didn't like them anymore at the right. end of last episode. So
that's true.
Yeah,
but no, I would agree. There was some, and I think unexpected, but I thought welcome dose of humor. We talked about the city council where they were trying to decide who was going to be the king, and then there's a scene where they're all getting their chairs.
Well, Tyrion's like, I'm going to make everything nice. I'm hand again. I want to start on a good note. I'm going to have everything structured and straight. And then, of course, everyone pours in. They're just like,
and there's like it's like in Starbucks where you hear the chairs dragging across the floor. That was funny stuff.
Ryan Burrow has been at a Game of Thrones watching party tonight, and this is all over the world. They've had these right now in Asia. They're having them, and then they will tomorrow in Europe. Although there were live performances, there were live satellite movie theater performances throughout Europe of Game of Thrones. That's how big, what an international sensation this really is. Where were you, Ryan?
I was at the Burlington on the north side off of Fullerton. They've had pretty big parties for several seasons here now. And the Bud Light guy never showed up. I thought that maybe the Bud Light King would come in, but that never happened. But, I think talking with a lot of people, there were people who appreciated the way it ended. There were people who thought that the kind of the back half of the show was more of a sitcom. They didn't really appreciate that. I don't know how much you guys are giving away, but some of the cheers, I don't know if you want me to say one.
Yeah, go ahead. We're giving it all away, yeah.
Spoilers.
It was the ghost at the end when everyone cheered ghost at the end. Everyone was cheering to Queen of the North. They were all cheering to that. So those were kind of the big moments.
Were there a lot of people? Like, what would be an estimated amount of people out there?
So they actually have two rooms. If you've ever been to the Burlington before, they've got the main bar area, which was completely packed. Then they actually have a back area with a screen and kind of seating. And that wasn't quite as packed. I would say 150 people.
Wow.
Pretty good showing. And, of course, people were drinking beer out of horns. And there were green beers with green glowing lights on them. And everyone was there to have a good time.
Hey, Ryan, out of the 150, over-under on virgins, 142, 143? We kid.
Got it. You know, that was my first episode watching, by the way. So you guys are all kind of freaky. I just want to say that.
Hey, how many tears did you see? Because there are definitely some moments that prompted some tears.
I saw no tears.
Oh, good.
Yeah, no. There,
no one likes to cry
no
in public.
Tears. They really had the volume jacked up, though, and everyone was on their best behavior because, you know, I remember watching the Super Bowl. The Bears were in the Super Bowl, and there are a lot of people around, and you just want everyone to go away, you know, because you don't want it. You want them to stop talking, but everyone was very, very well behaved. I mean, everyone was pretty much quiet through the whole thing, occasional cheers and jeers here and there, but everyone was very respectful, and everyone else was watching in the finale.
I'd be amazed if anyone even got up to go to the bathroom, to be honest.
Oh, I forgot to do that.
I heard they ran out of toilet paper at the end, so there was not much going at the end, I don't think.
I just want to say I've not gone to the bathroom since season 8 began. People are wondering, what, did you cry? I didn't notice you crying. Did you cry?
I had some tears in my eyes when Drogon was mourning Dany. That was hard.
The dragon was...
I mentioned to you guys when there was like a brief lull that I don't know what it is about the dragons, maybe the very dog-like nature of them, that
absolutely.
They have prompted more emotions out of me than any other characters in this show.
No, I understand that. Well, because there's a loyalty there.
Yeah, like
I have a question for Lauren, a technical question, because people are asking me this already.
Does Ryan have to hold on for this? Because he's like, I want to go to bed.
Ryan.
You guys are all weird. I just want to say, you guys are all super weird.
All right, thank you, Ryan.
Bye, Ryan.
Bye. Yeah, it was fun.
Ryan Burrow, ABC News.
He's the best.
Yeah.
guy just won like a Listigor, like something, yeah. or something, or yeah. national headline, some big award.
Well, no one else
for his journalism, and now he's
show.
Geeking out. But my question for Lorna is: okay, now there, you know, there was gambling. Now you can't gamble mm-hmm. on the United States, but the offshore books, you know, and they were, you know, you could bet on who was going to yep. kill and who was going to ascend to the Iron Throne. Now, the offshore books are saying they do not have to pay off on either Bran or Dany ascending to the Iron Throne, and I agree with them because Dany. She touched the throne, but never actually sat in the throne before she was killed, right? So she never really did, technically. And then Bran, there's the Six Kingdoms, but Sansa said she will not bend the knee, right? They were going to be independent. So he is not the ruler of the Iron Throne, correct?
He's well, the there's king no of, Iron Throne to rule.
Well, there is no Iron Throne, first of all, but he's not even the ruler of all seven kingdoms. He's the ruler of six.
Either way, if I placed a bet, I'd be mad.
George R.R. Martin, who was the inventor of this whole thing, he's the guy who wrote the graphic novels. Right.
Graphic novels, just novels.
Okay. And he is the, well, there's some graphic, there's a lot of sex in him.
Yes, very graphic in that nature, for sure.
So he said that there's sort of a Lord of the Rings ending here.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And something happened. During and Lauren will explain it. Something happened in this moment at in the finale, and you're like, "Oh, there it is! There it is!" Yeah. All right, what was it? Up to you. What was this? So? Explain
oh, me!
That.
Yeah. I was like, "Well, I thought we were playing the scene." Although it would just be a bunch of fire sounds. So yes, I brought this up to you guys before we even sat down, and in an interview, George R. R. Martin had mentioned that Game of Thrones would end. A way similar to Lord of the Rings. And so I was very curious how that would be. I mean, I didn't know. I there would be a Frodo connection. There would be a connection with the ring and Saruman and those kind of things. So the only reality would be the Iron Throne kind of being like the ring. So as soon as Drogon, who was mourning the death of his mother, Daenerys, just starts blowing fire at the throne. I was like, oh my God, he's going to melt it. He's going to melt it. I was like, there it is. There's the connection. Because the way Lord of the Rings ends with the ring going into the Mountain of Doom, right? Mount Doom and burning where it was forged, just like the throne that was made from like dragon fire and all the swords melted of the weapons of a Targaryen. It was also burned by a dragon. So... it was just very interesting because
so this
I would say
stealing.
That was the big...
Is that what we're...
No, just inspiration.
Okay.
Inspiration. Right. And I mean, there are other things you could look at as well. It, you know, with Arya sailing off, basically, that could be a Frodo connection or even just Jon. You know, the way he was saying goodbye to Sansa and Bran and Arya was very similar to Frodo when he left and he was saying goodbye to everybody else.
Sure.
Yeah, so there were definitely a few connections that I ultimately saw.
Well, everybody's, you know, we always say this, but the truth is there are only like, you know, 18 basic plots in the world. Everybody's inspired by everybody else. And there's a lot of biblical stuff that we see in these stories and certainly references to Lord of the Rings and other epic adventures. And so many of these, and Lauren, we were talking about this earlier, wrote too, you know, people fixating on who was going to win the Iron Throne. It's like, no, this is all about the fellowship and humanity and betrayal and all the Shakespearean things and family. And loyalty and what you'll do for love.
Right.
The common themes we see in all great literature, great movies, and great TV.
Right. Well, and yeah, one of the things that George R. R. Martin mentioned was this isn't about good versus evil or good rising above everything. It's about
the turmoil
that we face within ourselves and, you know, humanity as a whole. And that's why we have the character development and the downfalls that we see in this show. And that's why it can be hard as a viewer because you don't always get the ending that you want. You don't see things happen the way that you would like to. But that's reality. That is us as humans. We don't always follow through with being the right person, the good person, you know, whichever way you want to label it.
This show told us from the very start, we are not going to be a conventional television series about good and evil. We're not always going to see the heroes triumph. People are going to get away with horrible things sometimes because that's life. And again, it goes back to the first few episodes where we're like, oh my gosh, Sean Bean, star of Lord of the Rings, is playing Ned Stark. He's the hero of this series.
Oh yeah, we fell
he's
going to
be in it for the whole arc of the show. Now, people obviously that had, you know, read the graphic novels might have thought differently, and they swept the rug from under us. It was like, you know, the beginning of Psycho, where we, you know, we're taken aback by it. Great stuff.
Yeah.
Do you think that there will be follow-ons here? They've talked about three prequels, right? Are there three other things in production?
Right. They talked about, you know, well, first of all, there's already definitely prequel books, so that would be a smart way to go, to definitely follow kind of the era of the Mad King, or even before that, to kind of really follow the houses and how they kind of became what they were, and how we kind of walked into meeting them. But the details, I haven't read too much into what they plan to do. One thing that is for sure that, you know, any Game of Thrones lover can watch is already next week they're going to have a documentary into them filming and, you know, how everything kind of rounded out and ended. They've been teasing that a little bit.
We do like a half hour special about that. I don't know if we need to do a whole hour. HBO has 5 series, but they're in development, various prequels. So Lauren's right. You know, there's been a lot of reports either way. There's no guarantee that any of them are ever going to see the light of day. I think one or two might. The expense, obviously, is tremendous for these things and the investment. So
well, you have characters, a lot of characters still alive in the universe.
Sure.
That you could, you know, Arya Stark, you know, is going off to some sort of great odyssey. Right, so that seems like a natural to do.
Yes, absolutely. Or as Lauren mentioned, you go way back. You know, for example, there is going to be a Sopranos movie, and a lot of people think it's going to be about the young Tony Soprano. No, he's actually a minor character. It's actually about his uncles and his father, and it's set in the late 60s in New Jersey. So that's why they're going to do the Sopranos sequel. Now, Ro and I last night saw the Elton John movie, Rocket Man, and there was a trailer there for the Downton Abbey sequel. That's coming to theaters, but that's going to be right after, I believe, the events of Downton Abbey, and we will be doing a special on that October 27th, right here, I've decided, on WGN, after the Abbey.
Well, no, so...
Pardon the butler.
Either way, there's a lot of ways they can go, but the fact the prequel books already exist, that's the easy way for them to go. It's already... A lot of it's written. That's how a lot of theories have already come to light, and, you know, a lot were wrong, but...
I would pay just to watch you read the books. We could just put that together, like a live reading of the books.
Yeah, just read the books if you want a little bit more.
How many are there all together? Do you know Lauren offhand?
No.
The George R.R. And he's still, as people know, he's still around with us. He's still with us. He actually lives in New Mexico. People, I think, all expect that he lives in England or something like that. I believe he's in Albuquerque. And still creating.
I'll take your word on that. He hasn't even finished the books. I mean, the reason that the series ended the way it did is because he spoke with the writers about how
he gave an outline for this,
it to
right?
end. Yeah.
And you mentioned Lord of the Rings. I always thought that he's George R.R. Martin as a tribute to J.R.R. Tolkien, who created Lord of the Rings things. I'm assuming that's why he came up with that kind of, you know, wave. Because I never say that I'm Richard E.R. Roper, but I think I'm going to from now on.
Well, he also had to keep himself from being confused with George Martin, the record producer.
The producer of the Beatles.
Yes, there was that. All right, we'll come right back.
It is, good point.
It's Game of Thrones After Dark, because actually we should call it Game of Thrones After Stark. There you go. And we'll take your phone calls 312-91-7200 on the other side as well. But first...
Giving you to the Unsullied would start a war. Letting you walk free would start a war. So our new king has chosen to send you to the Night's Watch.
There's still Night's Watch.
The world will always need a home for bastards and broken men.
You shall take no wife, hold no lands, father no children.
The Unsullied wanted your head, of course. The Grey Worm has accepted the justice of a life sentence.
Game of Thrones After Dark. I'm Ro Khan. He's Richard Rubber. She's Lauren Lapka. These are my got geeks right here.
These I like two. It. It's a good term.
The got geeks. You know, Peter Dinklage is another one. I don't know what the accents are supposed to be, but he has this lovely, I guess, British accent, wouldn't you say, in Game of Thrones? He's from New Jersey. He's from New Jersey. I like him. Yeah. Because it's like he decided his character was going to be, well, he would be. He'd be educated, right? Because he came from a moneyed family. Mm-hmm. But he has decided that he is going to have kind of a standard British stage accent. But the other cast members never got the memo because they have all different. And I guess that's okay because they're from fake lands, right?
Yeah, all over.
So some
of
them are you know, English, but some of them are kind of like a Scottish, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right, everybody's got their own. Well, I think it comes down to the actor, doesn't it? Because it's mostly a continental cast, right? It's European actors, With the exception of Peter Dinklage.
Yeah, and Jamie Lannister.
Jamie Lannister and Euron, Danish.
Yeah, there's a few Danish actors. Yeah, come on, Danish. Like, they call themselves their own land, but come on, they're the same as the rest of
it. Well, you kind of wonder. I mean, you see people in this show, and you're like, where have I seen that person before?
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, if you watch European-based movies, you see some of these people. The guy who played Jamie Lannister, Waldo Costo, whatever his name is, he's a gigantic star in Europe.
Nikolai Coster-Waldau.
Yes,
Nikolai Coster-Waldau. He's done some American film. I think he's a really good actor. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's got leading man looks, but he played arguably the most complex character in the series when you look at all the things he went through.
He was having sex with his sister.
That's complicated.
That's complicated, yes.
Well, Lena Headey has actually had a pretty big career. I think she was in 300 or one of those things. And she's done a lot of comedy. And those are not. Those are not her real bangs. People keep asking, are those her bangs? Well, she doesn't have any bangs
anymore. Real hair.
They're all seared off.
There was actually a few characters in there that were in the UK version of Skins, the TV show.
Yeah.
Which I thought was very interesting.
So they've been friends for a while, yeah. Some of the cast members.
Mm-hmm.
Really good cast. That was one of the great things about the show, even when it would hit its lulls or whatever. Really just wonderful performances, except for Bran.
Which makes me think, so who was like the toughest lost, do you think?
The toughest loss in terms of... Oh, death. Gosh.
For the audience,
you guys missed? Personally, and then I would be curious to know like who people had the toughest time watching die.
I'm not going to lie to you. When Daenerys died, spoiler alert. there was a moment, especially the way she died, at the hands of Jon Snow in a surprise move. Again, spoiler alert. Uh-huh. I did have this moment because I was sort of in love with her. There was a part of her. Yeah. I got even when she decided she had to destroy the entire city and she had, gone through this change. I understood what she was doing, but she was, because she's a Targaryen, becoming a tyrant. And even though tyrants always say they have the best interests of their people at hand, but it was a lovely moment because she wanted to share that with Jon Snow, and then there was the hope that maybe Jon Snow could shave down some of the edges there, and then instead he just kills her.
Yeah.
Well, of course, spoiler we go back alert. To the what many cite as the greatest episode, The Red Wedding, which was not titled. There was a different title for that, right, the episode. But that had maybe some of the most stunning deaths because it was, there was a mass killing. But also it was doubly tragic because, remember, Arya was just about to be reunited with some
she
of her family
right
members.
She was
right outside the doors. That, to me, is great television. If you're talking about greatest single episodes, the moment when they realized that the guys were all wearing their chain armor underneath their cloth outfits for the wedding.
And the song that started playing was very telling. That was probably one of the top five episodes of all time.
I agree.
Great episode. I don't know why.
Where would you put the finale in that?
Huh?
Where would you put the finale in?
Oh, not up in the top five.
I would agree.
Not even up in the top 10. I mean, you got to look at the Long Night. You got to look at the Red Wedding. You got to look at the Battle of the Bastards. You got to look at...
By the way, we had that in my family for years.
Battle of the Bastards?
Yeah.
It was like Festivus for the rest of us.
I can't think of the title of the episode, but where all of them were on the little island on the pond against the dead, like that was a huge episode.
This season,
last season before.
Oh, that's right.
When she came to rescue them, and that's how she lost her dragon to the Night King.
Right,
that whole episode that was
huge.
Amazing.
And then the whole interlude, sometimes when they would spend a few episodes, like when there was the whole interlude on the island there with the kiss that was the poison, and Jamie thought,
all those little things.
Those little moments where we really didn't see the death coming. And Jorah Hill?
Jorah.
He was one of my favorite characters because, early on, he was out to betray.
Right.
The queen.
He was there
Dany,
to spy
and
on
then
her.
Became, you know, like, and of course, another one of the, great episodes was in the Great Colosseum where they looked like they were doomed, and then the dragons came and saved her. Mm-hmm. And that was that also brilliantly filmed episode.
Yeah. As a piece of art, as a piece of visual art in television, it is one of the most stunning series of all times.
Absolutely.
It is beautifully done. We are better off for having it. People who have never seen it should binge it. Because once you get into it after the first maybe two, three episodes.
Yeah, it's very intricate. You're not going to just jump in. And right. it's very shocking.
Watch it backward.
It's very,
let's do that.
No. It's very shocking. So, yeah, it's going to make you uncomfortable. You just have to kind of prepare for that. But I think you would appreciate it if you kind of let yourself go there.
Okay, those are my Got Geeks right there. That's Lauren Lapka. That's Richard Roper. Carl Amari is going to join us coming up in 2 minutes. All right, that's it for Got Geeks. That's it for Game of Thrones. Rokan Show joins you back here tomorrow at 3 o'clock right here on 720 WGN Chicago. Carl Amari is in the studio right now, and he's going to hold forth, of course.
How you doing, Ro?
I couldn't be better.
Well, I can't wait to learn all about Game of Thrones. I heard it's a television show or something like that.
Yes. Well, you're not really familiar with television, are you?
No. TV?
Yes. It was always radio for you.
Do you have 48 hours? Because that's how long it's going to take to kind of get into it.
48 hours? Yeah. I can do that. Yes.
That's how long the recap alone will take.
Oh, my gosh. I've heard about this show.
Yes.
I hear it's like a few people watch it.
75 hours of programming. Don't worry about it. You can get it. You can binge it.
Just binge it.
If you can stay awake, if you can do that thing where you put like the toothpicks in your eyes.
Oh,
you can work that out.
Do like the
Clockwork Orange.
Sure.
Yeah.
Malcolm McDowell helped me with that.
What do you got coming up?
We have The Adventures of Sam Spade, Detective. Howard Duff played Sam Spade on radio. And then Jack Carson Show with special guest Howard Duff.
Oh,
Howard Duff. It's kind of a Howard Duff thing, yeah.
I love your show.
Too bad Howard Duff wasn't on Game of Thrones. It would have really
Howard Duff was
right
on Game of Thrones.
He probably
they
was.
They actually used him as a cadaver in one of the episodes. It's a separate thing. Big deal.
Thank you very much. And should I read this legal ID?
Sure.
All right, I'll do that. Well, here are the sounds that matter, the top five at five from the Rokan Show. You know that guy, Rokan? I've heard of him.
Hate that guy.
I like him a lot. Anna DeVellantes is with him, of course, weekday afternoon. 720 WGN Chicago smart speaker users to say play WGN radio on TuneIn. And the 11 o'clock news is sponsored by Builder Supply Outlet. Here's the news with Vic Vaughn.